Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Chapin. For this week's episode, I'll have some takeaways from week one. In general, it's important to not overreact to 1 week of games, but there were things to be encouraged about or discouraged about, so I'll go through my takeaways, and then like last week, I'll quickly name a player at each position to feel good about for lineups in week two. But starting at quarterback with the takeaways based on week one, first of all, if you drafted a high-end QB1, you have to be feeling pretty good about it. Josh Allen led the week in fantasy points. Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurst both had big games. But I want to focus on three guys who I think are for real, with Justin Herbert, Justin Fields, and Aaron Rodgers. For Herbert, the Chargers seem more aggressive through the air. Might have had to do with Kansas City being stingier versus their run, but having Ladd McConkey and emerging Quentin Johnston and Keenan Allen gives Herbert plenty of playmakers. He was also aggressive as a runner, had the game-sealing run to beat the Chiefs, so there was some concern about the Chargers maybe not passing enough under Greg Roman, but if week one was any indication, they're definitely going to be putting more on Herbert this year, so he should be at least a top 10 option the rest of the way. And as mentioned last week, we do have rest of season rankings, so if you're not a Fantasy Consigliere member, that's another reason to consider subscribing. But for Fields, I think I saw he had the most designed runs for a quarterback last week, with 10 of them. He had 12 carries for 48 yards and 2 touchdowns. Overall, looked sharp through the air, 16 of 22 passing for 218 yards and another score. And it seems like the Jets might be using a quarterback sneak near the goal line, similar to the Eagles. So Fields has major upside, should be rostered in all leagues, and the schedule sets up nicely for the rest of the month. This week against the Bills, who just struggled to contain Lamar Jackson as a runner. Next week against the Bucks, and then week 4 versus Miami. And then on the other side of that matchup, Aaron Rodgers. He had 4 passing touchdowns versus his former team. And I like how the Pittsburgh offense set things up, getting everyone involved. This week will be a tough matchup versus Seattle, but we move Rodgers up in our rest of season rankings. And I'm excited to see the connection between him and DK Metcalf when the matchups get easier. And then for the negative on quarterback, I didn't like what I saw from Drake May. Maybe it'll take some time in Josh McDaniels' offense, but he didn't seem to be playing fast enough and showed some of the flaws he had at North Carolina. So in dynasty leagues, it might be worth, if you're an investor, to check in on what you could get for him in a potential trade, although it probably makes sense to hope he has a big game this week and then reassess his value. But last week, I don't think was a good start for those hoping he'll reach a superstar ceiling with the Patriots. At running back, sticking with North Carolina, I'm concerned about Amarian Hampton and would be looking to get Najee Harris if he's available. Najee only having 1 carry last week was surely due to the missed time in camp, and the concerns we saw from Hampton in college was on display with inconsistent decisiveness and some spotty vision behind the line. On the other hand, Jim Harbaugh and Justin Herbert both expressed confidence in Hampton after the game, but I do think we'll see more of a split with Harris getting more work as he gets into the swing of things, so I'd like to pick up Harris if he's available. Now for the positives at running back, Travis Etienne Jr. is up to the top 15 in our rest of season rankings. We had him in the top 20 in our draft rankings and said how ridiculous the industry consensus views were last week, so if you followed our draft rankings, hopefully you got him. Liam Cohen said Etienne can turn 10 play drives into a 4 play drive, and he already showed that in the opener. But the big picture at running back is to invest in talent. That's why we were high on Etienne, and it was great to see Christian McCaffrey healthy, but Brian Robinson Jr. fits that billing. He's a top handcuff in fantasy and needs to be rostered. The same is true for Braylon Allen. I thought Breece Hall looked better than expected last week, but Allen had an 8-yard touchdown, and he can still push for close to a 50-50 split. And then Caleb Johnson doesn't carry much standalone value right now. He's playing behind both Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell, but I'd still hold on to him as a stash for now, if you can, based on the talent. And he's someone that could pay dividends down the stretch as the weather gets colder. For wide receiver, the primary takeaway is simple. Don't overreact to one game. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Brian Thomas Jr. as a receiver, Terry McLaurin, Jameson Williams, and others will be just fine. Passing attacks can be behind early in the season, but I expect all those guys to figure it out. For the positives last week, DK Metcalf getting some underneath stuff is a great sign for his value moving forward. And again, I think the connection with him and Rodgers will be exciting, especially down the field when easier matchups hit the schedule. In Buffalo, Keon Coleman gets a tough matchup this week, but he's already making good on being a breakout candidate and seems to have the full trust of Josh Allen. Another guy that seems to have broken out is Quentin Johnston. There will surely be some low-floor gains for him moving forward, but he seemed to have finally put everything together, and he should be a top ad off the waiver wire this week. And then for a veteran, Deebo Samuel looked like himself in his first game with Washington, and I think he'll be featured as long as he's healthy, both as a pass catcher and runner, and I expect he'll have a big game on Thursday night against the Packers. And to finish off the week one takeaways at tight end, I'll talk about Harold Fannin Jr. He's someone we mentioned last week, that we gave a borderline first-round grade to in the 2025 NFL Draft and recommended him as a big-time investment in Dynasty Leagues, but it looks like you might not even need to wait to use him based on the week one usage. In his debut, he was targeted 9 times, had 7 receptions, 63 yards, and had a carry in the Wildcat, so he's already a definite tight end too, and could climb further for a Cleveland offense that's going to run heavy 2 tight end personnel with Fannin and David Njoku. So quickly for this week, I'll name one guy at each position. For a quarterback, I mentioned not being high on Drake May, but we do have him as a top 15 play this week versus an attackable Miami secondary. We saw what Daniel Jones did to the Dolphins in week one, so hopefully if you go with May, he can have similar success. At running back, I'd roll with Kenneth Walker as a high-end RB2, despite a slow start. His running style is somewhat similar to Breece Hall, who just gave the Steelers problems, and Pittsburgh's issues down the stretch last year on defense don't seem to have been solved if week one was any indication, so Walker remains a top 15 option for us. At wide receiver, an obvious one, but we have CeeDee Lamb as the top play again. He easily could have had 200 yards in the opener and is carrying the best possible mentality, following the missed opportunities by taking full accountability and working hard to fix the drops. And who knows whether the guy was making it up, but I saw a Cowboys account on X claiming that someone in the locker room said they feel bad for the Giants because Lamb is mad and might go for 250 yards and 4 touchdowns. So I expect a monster game from him on Sunday. And at tight end, Brenton Strange could be a nice replacement for George Kittle for this week, with Jaguars-Bengals looking like a possible shootout. You can find our full week 2 rankings on wolfsports.com. I'll get deeper into weekly advice in future weeks, but for now I think it's important to not overreact to early action, continue to play the best players, and don't panic after one bad week. And if you have a good team, things should level out for you as the season moves along. Until next time, I'm Dylan Shpeen, and this was the Fantasy Consigliere Podcast.